Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijon lego shavothya, nijon lego shavothya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey!
music from the drum Black Lodge off their Canyon Records CD, Spamokin' None. The name of that song was Indian People. I featured that song as a tribute to all indigenous peoples throughout the world, especially those who have suffered injustice and human rights abuses during the past 517 years of colonization. I also played that song as an honor to all those indigenous peoples who resisted the invaders, as well as to those contemporary indigenous peoples who continue the struggle against cultural, social, economic, and environmental injustice. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is Program 2 of Wolf Mountain Radio's interview series entitled Working for World Peace, Justice, and Equality, a conversation with Rob Manaus. Yad Kiddushi Data Center believes that it is possible to have world peace, justice, and equality for all of humanity. This vision is at the core of Yad Kiddushi Native Center's programs and projects. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center networks with many individuals and organizations that share this hope. Today's program guest, Rob Manaus, an activist and educator, is one such young person who is dedicated to this belief. I met Rob Manaus a few years ago when he was a student at Florida Gulf Coast University. FGCU is where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor. Rob and I are both active with FGCU's group, the Progressive Student Alliance. The Alliance is a student, youth, and community organization that is concerned about peace and a range of important social, economic, environmental justice issues. Rob now serves as a Southwest Florida representative of the human rights organization Amnesty International. AI is a fine organization. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is proud to be a longtime member of Amnesty International. We support AI's justice campaign for Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier, who has been wrongly imprisoned for more than 30 years. This year, I had the privilege to attend the 2009 Amnesty International's Florida statewide meeting with Rob and several other FGCU students. Wolf Mountain Radio encourages everyone to listen to online to my three program interviews from Amnesty International's conference entitled Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International on RadioForAll.net. That's www.radioforall.net. Rob Manaus works at Southwest Florida's Holocaust Museum. The museum is an educational center that uses Holocaust-based programming to motivate students and adults to make a difference in today's world, promoting tolerance and understanding by teaching the history and lessons of the Holocaust. It is hoped people will learn from the past in order to make a better future. In a similar pedagogy, Yad Kiddushi Native Center's Ginili Goa program focuses on peace education and conflict mediation, monitoring and reporting on social justice and human rights issues, and supporting indigenous people's sovereignty and self-determination. Yad Kiddushi Native Center serves to inform, educate, and enlighten the public on important issues facing humanity and the well-being of all life on our planet. We indigenous people call Mother Earth. I hope today's dialogue with my program guest, Rob Manaus, contributes to the need of having appreciation and respect for all peoples, for all life. It is now my honor to welcome Mr. Rob Manaus to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name is Rob Manaus. I live in Bonita Springs, Florida. I am a legislative coordinator with Amnesty International USA, and I am also the education assistant at the Holocaust Museum of Southwest Florida, which is located in Naples. Thank you for having me here today, Ones.
Rob, thus far, we've talked about various aspects of human rights abuses including poverty, socioeconomic inequality, environmental justice and human rights, transnational corporations, such as the Bhopal, India case, private sector military and security industry, and briefly the issue of genocide. I would like for you to share more of your thoughts about war and genocide being crimes against humanity. In today's program introduction, I mentioned that you work at Southwest Florida's Holocaust Museum, whose mission is to educate people on the history and lessons of the Holocaust in hopes war and violence against any group of people will never again take place. Unfortunately, humanity has yet to learn this important lesson. Despite the 1948 United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment on the Crime of Genocide, adopted by UN General Assembly Resolution Number 260. When most people hear the term Holocaust, the first thought is Nazi Germany's murder of more than 6 million people in the Second World War. One aspect of the term genocide that greatly bothers me is that often the word is used only when murdering members of a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group reaches a certain number of persons murdered. Genocide should not be categorized by a numbers threshold. Since World War II, there have been a number of cases of genocide. Those that have made the news include Argentina, Bosnia, Cambodia, Chile, East Timor, Rwanda, Sudan, and Uganda. There is also a continuing genocide occurring to many indigenous peoples, such as in the Amazon, that hardly ever makes the news. Rob, would you please share your comments?
Like you said, after the Holocaust and World War II, the entire world got together, formed the United Nations, and made a promise. They promised never again will we allow genocide for it to take place. And unfortunately, we know that throughout history, genocides have taken place and continue to take place. And I always point out to my students to not forget genocide of the Native Americans here, and to continue to be aware of target groups, any group that is targeted for being different. It's important that you point out that it's not about numbers. What's significant is the intent. Any group that is targeted just because of who they are, just for being different, that's where genocide begins. I've been involved on this issue for a very long time. What's important now to remember is that Darfur is the first time in history where a genocide was officially been declared by a government, which is the United States. They declared it in 2004. One of the first times in history where official government recognized that a genocide was taking place as it was occurring. Because so many times in history, we've only called something a genocide after it was over, after everyone had already been killed and there was nothing left to do. So now this is an opportunity where the international community can take action and stop this and hopefully truly prevent it from happening again in the future.
Rwanda, Rwanda, yeah, yeah. Rwanda, Rwanda, they said many are called, a few were chosen, but I wish some wasn't chosen. But the blood spilling of Rwanda, yeah. They said me shocky, shocking up in they go. Thrown in the fire, but you never get burned. But I wish some didn't get burned in Rwanda, yeah. They said the man is judged according to his works. So tell me, Africa, what's your work? There's no money, no diamonds, no fortunes on this planet that can replace Rwanda. Rwanda, Rwanda. Yeah. These are the cries of the children. Rwanda. Yeah. Anybody in my ground of Rwanda, America. It's the United States of America. then why can't Africa be the United States of Africa? Rwanda, Rwanda. And if England is the United Kingdom, then why can't Africa unite all the kingdoms and become the United Kingdom of Africa? Rwanda, 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 Rwanda. Yeah. Yeah. These are the cries of the children. Yeah. Rwanda, Rwanda. Can anybody out there hear our cries? Yeah. Heaven's cry. Jesus Christ, yeah. Lord, did you hear us calling you?
From DJ Day Productions of the song Hotel Rwanda. That song is a remembrance of the 1994 genocide that took place in the African nation of Rwanda. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard, an estimated 1 million people, mostly tribal Tutsis, were killed by fellow citizens, tribal Hutus. The scale and speed of the slaughter is difficult to fathom. The killing of nearly 1 million people took only 3 months. The song honors a very brave Rwandan, Mr. Paul Rusas Abagina, a hotel manager who saved many fellow Rwandans from death. Yad Kiddushi Native Center encourages everyone to view the Hotel Rwanda movie version that stars actor Don Cheadle to get an understanding of what went on. It seems throughout human history there have always been violence and warfare between different peoples. Understanding historical relationships and underlying causes of hostilities between peoples is critical if there are to be no more future genocides. In what is now called North America, Native peoples at times did have animosity between each other. However, my ancestors also had conflict resolution and mediation protocols to settle disputes. Long before the arrival of the white man to our homelands, our tribal societies had peace treaties with each other. These were overseen by clan mothers and peace chiefs. The Haudenosaunee Confederacies, Guyana Shagoa, the Great Law of Peace, is a great example of indigenous peacekeeping. The Great Law Constitution still keeps peace among the Six Nations Iroquois Confederacy. In truth, hostilities between different Native peoples throughout the world were greatly exacerbated by European colonization. The white man was a master of manipulating differences and disagreements between tribal peoples in order to further their European conquest known as Manifest Destiny. In the case of Rwanda, when Belgian colonists arrived in 1916, they created tribal identification cards, classifying native peoples according to their ethnicity. The Belgians encouraged cultural tensions between Hutus and Tutsis. Throughout the globe, colonial governments used the strategy of divide and conquer as a way to take over land and dominate indigenous populations. Historically, many native peoples throughout the world were forced to have tribal ID numbers and/or passport-type identification papers. Permission to travel or work outside one's tribal area, usually a barren wasteland reservation indigenous peoples were forced upon, required government authorization. This apartheid system was brutally enforced by police forces. This was the case in Rwanda under Belgian rule. In 1959, there was violence between the Hutus and Tutsis due to years of resentment built up as a result of Belgian rule over Rwanda. Many historians cite Rwandan independence in 1962, when Hutus took power, as the causation of the tragic 1994 genocide. In 1993, the United Nations Assistance Mission to Rwanda, UNAMIR, was established in order to try to keep peace between the Rwandan government and the Rwandan Patriotic Front. The RPF was a predominantly Tutsis guerrilla movement. After what's been called a 3-year civil war, in August of 1993, there was the Arusha Peace Agreement. The peace accords dissolved after the April 1994 assassination of Rwandan president. The death of Hutu President Habyarimana was the spark that ignited the genocide. The mass killings were directed by a Hutu power group known as the Akazu. There was little response or intervention to the genocide by the international community. The United Nations withdrew its peacekeeping mission at the beginning of the violence. U.S. President Clinton was reluctant to get involved. America limited itself to providing meager humanitarian relief. The Organization of African Unity likewise watched from the sidelines as hundreds of thousands of Rwandans were murdered. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. My guest today in the studio is Mr. Rob Manaus. Rob is a human rights, social justice activist, friend of mine. Rob, many of the issues we've been talking about and many other serious problems facing our planet can be very depressing. For me, networking with many fine organizations and meeting dedicated young people such as yourself is one of the ways in which I sustain my work for peace, justice, and defense of Mother Earth. How do you maintain your hope and optimism to do the work you do with Amnesty International and with the Southwest Florida Holocaust Museum?
For all of the heavy and troubling, depressing issues that we work on, some people may find it hard to believe that we can keep our hopes up. That's so important to do, especially when we get involved in these issues, mainly because a big source of inspiration for my optimism comes from working with people like you and definitely the students. Anytime I work with fellow activists, it strengthens my resolve even more to know that there are people that care about these things as much as I do. And I think that's so important to not focus on the negative, because there have always been injustices and violations of human rights. But there will always be people that will stand up for that and protect that and treat others the way we want to be treated. And a big part of that also is that I understand that we do work on some difficult issues here, but we can still have fun. We can still develop solidarity and know that we're doing a good thing for the benefit of humanity and for the world that we all share. And I also think it's always a good thing to have a good sense of humor. You know, we have to develop the negative into a positive picture and continue, keep going.
Rob, my next question concerns itself with racism and xenophobia. Peace, justice, and equality, the hopes we have for all humanity, will never be achieved until the virulent diseases of racism and xenophobia are no longer present in our global society. Historically, and even now in the new millennium, racism, discrimination, hatred, and fear of peoples whom have different cultural, ethnic, gender, geographic, political, or religious life ways is why there are still so many human and civil rights abuses in the world. Xenophobia and racism are at the roots of violence, war, and genocide. Genocide is often termed a crime against humanity. Likewise, racism and xenophobia should be considered a crime against human dignity. Many various cultures have experienced racism and xenophobia. Indigenous peoples were early victims of this sickness that has now spread throughout people of color communities. I grew up in a time not so long ago when Native peoples in what's now called the United States and Canada were despised by white society, similar to the Jim Crow laws of the American South that allowed segregation of whites and black people. American Indians were also denied respect and equality. I remember signs in stores and in restaurants that said no Indians allowed. There is a long history of harsh government laws and policies that have kept Native people down. Washington and Ottawa's dictatorial rule over those of us called North American Indians meet the definition of colonialism. I remember Indian agents on our reservations being very racist towards us. Racism and xenophobia is also inflicted upon my Native peoples by anti-Indian hate groups similar to the KKK. Even today, there are white supremacists that target Native Americans. An example of this are the fishing wars where Native boats and fishing gear are destroyed by non-Indians. Threats of violence and intimidation against my people by non-Natives are still common. Due to broadcast time constraints, I won't go into details about racism, discrimination, and xenophobia towards black, Hispanic, and Asian people in America. We all know there has been little real meaningful change. Despite the civil rights movements of each of these cultures, relations between white society and people of color is still mostly superficially cosmetic. Throughout the world, there remains much racial discrimination and ethnic violence, despite a number of important international declarations, resolutions, and conventions. Inequality and disrespect for human dignity reached the point where in September of 2001, in Durban, South Africa, there was the World Conference Against Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerance, hosted by the United Nations. A world free of prejudice, racism, inequality, xenophobia, and related intolerance is a dream that has yet to be achieved. Rob, would you please share your thoughts about this?
People of color have always been targeted for discrimination. And when you speak of racism, xenophobia, and discrimination, it's still a problem that plagues our society. Being a student of psychology, I think a lot of that stems from our fear of the unknown, the fear of anything that's different, and that a lot of humans, we define ourselves against the other. And the other is, whoever is different is something that we usually demonize. And I think that can be very dangerous and has been a source of so much of the injustice that has occurred and continues to occur. Unless we recognize that these things exist in our communities, we can't just ignore, you know, just because we have a colored person in the presidency, we can't just ignore that there are these problems of race and discrimination still in our own communities. The way to improve the situation is to educate people. Racism, discrimination, all these oppression is really the result of ignorance. The best way is to educate people and to actually try to show some empathy. Once you do that, then there's a way that we can overcome these problems of discrimination, racism, xenophobia, all those things.
across the lines. Who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. You choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. Back streets of America, they kill the dream of America. Little black girl gets assaulted, ain't no reason why. News for the prince's story, racist tempers fight. Next day starts a riot, knives and guns are drawn. Two black boys get killed, one white boy goes blind. Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. Choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. Back streets of America, they kill the dream of America. Little black girl gets assaulted, no one know her name. Lots of people hurt and angry, she's the one to blame. Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks, separates whites from blacks. Choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. Back streets of America, they kill the dream of America.
Music from singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman off her Elektra Records cassette entitled Tracy Chapman. The name of that song was Across the Lines, a commentary on race relations in America. I am privileged to have known Tracy when I broadcast in the mid-1980s on WMFO-FM in the Boston area. In addition to my Wolf Mountain Native Radio program, I co-produced the weekly Radio Free South Africa show with Chris O'Neill. From time to time, Tracy would visit the station where I interviewed her. We also were both active in many social justice events in the Boston area, where I often was a speaker and Tracy played her wonderful music. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In the studio today, my guest is Mr. Rob Manaus, an activist and educator for social economic justice and human rights. Sir, my next topic I want to highlight is economic globalization and how both people and the environment are greatly affected. Governments, corporations, global trade policies, and international financial institutions such as the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and regional development banks so dominate world affairs. I became quite aware of this economic colonization when in the 1970s I lived 4 years in Southeast Asia. I served as a U.S. Peace Corps Environment Program volunteer and later as an advisor with the U.S. Agency for International Development. Rob, in the Philippines, where you were born, I witnessed the rape of the country
under the disguise of so-called national development, the exploitation of agricultural, forestry, fisheries, and mineral resources only benefited the already super rich and greedy politicians, business, and financial sectors. The majority of Filipinos' socioeconomic conditions worsened, creating more poverty and inequality. In many countries, this situation creates many social injustices and human rights abuses. I experienced firsthand an example of this economic colonization scheme and human rights abuses from the Philippine government's proposed Chico River Dam project with World Bank funding. This development project's public relations campaign, I should say public deception campaign, made it seem that the dam would provide irrigation water for farmers and bring electricity to areas that never had power. If you examine the details of the dam project, the beneficiaries would have been industrial-scale logging, mining, and agribusiness plantations, not the country's poor. In addition, many so-called development projects, such as the Chico River Dam, is undertaken with harsh government police and security forces that often violates people's civil rights. The proposed Chico River Hydro Dam project was to be built in the mountain homeland of the Kalinga and Apayao tribal peoples I live with. The dictatorship of President Marcos created a special control agency, the Kalinga Special Development Region. The KSDR prevented outsiders from visiting and learning about this huge hydro dam scheme. The KSDR also coordinated Philippine military patrols and required the indigenous peoples to carry a village ID booklet. Permission to travel within or away from Kalinga Apayao province required KSDR authorization. I witnessed many abuses and threats to native Kalinga Apayao, who were my close friends. I remember Kalinga Chief Malingling was murdered by a Philippine military officer. The Kalinga Chief was thrown out of a helicopter for refusing to sign a government paper in support of the Chico River Dam. The Chico Dam project would have been cultural genocide, since it required removal and resettlement of most Kalinga from their sacred mountains. Rob, before I ask your response to this issue of human rights and economic globalization, or as many say, economic colonization, I want to read a statement in opposition of the proposed Chico River Dam project from a mountain Kalinga warrior friend of mine. The title of his statement, which I translated for him, is, "We are planted here, rooted in sacred mountain land. All our dead are buried here, they must, for this is where they spring from, Ting Lion Mountain. When one of our people drowns in the river and his body is carried downstream, why do we go all the way to the sea to bring back the bones of our people? Because the dead belong to their roots. They must come back to us, our mountain. Otherwise, their spirits will not find peace and they will come back to haunt us. Now we are asked to allow our dead to be covered by the waters of the Chico River Dam. This is an impossible request. Separated from our dead, we will die. Our spirit and those of our ancestors are within this mountain place. We may as well remain here and drown in the same waters that will wipe them out forever and drown our land. The government assures us it will spare no effort nor expense to disinter the dead, to remove their remains to new and better sites. The government does not understand the very land we live on, our mountains, is the dust of our fathers. The president assures us that the government will recompense us double whatever we lose in the destruction of our fields, our forests, our villages. Perhaps it will and can. But our ukali, our culture, this cannot be replaced, and its loss will be our death as a people. We are steeped in this tradition, from the soles of our feet to the crowns of our head. Essential to our ukali are our papatayan, our sacred forests. These cannot be transferred with us to the new relocation sites that the government speaks of. Will we leave our ukali? No. We will not leave our mountain, our forest, our land. We will fight against the Chico River Dam Project.
First, I'll talk about the Philippines, and then I'll discuss more about my thoughts on globalization and economic colonialism, as you called it. I love the Philippines, and I'm glad that I was born there, and that when I came to the United States and kind of assimilated too well, that I had forgotten so much of my own family's culture. Returning to the Philippines a few years ago was a big inspiration that inspired me to get involved in human rights work. To this day, throughout the world, the old idea of colonialism isn't the same as it was before. You still see its effects and how it's evolved to still exert its control. What's problematic is that so many colonized countries still suffer many of these problems that are rooted in being colonized. Basically throughout the world, you have countries that are still in debt, indebted to these huge global organizations that have way too much power, and especially the corporations that you were talking about. You know, in any parts of the world, in South America, in India, in all over Africa, you could see the examples where now it's that corporations have so much power that are keeping many indigenous peoples, many people in other countries enslaved. Important to learn is how we are all indirectly involved in this, in the products that we buy, in the way we live our lives, how what we do and how some of the privileges that we have in this, what's called the developed world, and all this access to all this wealth and prosperity in our country, that might be because people are being exploited and oppressed in another part of the world.
This myth, but how the market will self-regulate. But elite business schemes would still just be dreams without the arms of the state. If you wanna know what they mean when they say we're gonna open up your markets for our free trade, just ask the ghosts of all those who've been killed for refusing to bow down before the dollar bill. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will. Cargill, Monsanto, Merck, or Union Carbide, they go by so many names. But for the land and the people destroyed by their greed, the story is always the same. McDonald's requires McDonnell Douglas. United Fruit needed U.S. Marines. The freedom of their market, supported by fascist regimes. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely
will.
The rhetoric is so thick as they tell us we're free, and we've gotta cut right through their lies. It's not freedom to choose our own destinies, it's freedom to choose our demise. You can die for their money, you can die by their guns. They'll let you choose your own fate. If you get in the way of their profits, you can be sure you'll be burned at the stake. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will.
They opened fire on the people, and
they put you in the
middle of the city.
We don't need no great hand coming down from the sky, or your soldiers in olive drab marching on by. To discipline, regulate, liberalize, legislate, we decline. Without you we were just doing fine. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elites and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will.
Stocks took a fall, reacting to their sector's downbeat corporate news. Investors also were worried about the strength of the economy and corporate America's accounting practices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is closed down 128.14 and
listening to Yat Kedichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The music you heard prior to our Yat Kedichi Native Center program identification was from singer-songwriter Ethan Miller off his 2002 CD entitled In Times of War. The name of that song was The Invisible Hand of the Marketplace, a musical commentary on corporate economic globalization. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to again thank today's program guest, Mr. Rob Manaus, for sharing his views today on Wolf Mountain Radio. Yad Kiddushin Native Center urges everyone to learn more and get actively involved in the many important peace, social, economic, environmental justice, and human rights issues. One fine organization is Amnesty International. Their website is www.amnesty.org. Another excellent human rights summary website is www.humanrightsweb.org. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a flute song by Lakota musician Kevin Locke off his Mekoshe music CD, Open Circle. The name of the song is Eagle Circles. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Nawantakwasin, all of our relations.